Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's Over Under 98.5, the podcast. It is going to be a big one today as we preview week one of the NFL season. Of course, we'll be heading into week three of the college football. Actually, week two of the college football season with that zero in there, but... I'm Joe Murray, joined by Dan Lifshatz. Hello, Dan.
What's going on, Joe? How you doing?
Good. Let's knock a couple of things out because this is going to be a long podcast. So, review last week. I crushed. I think I'm now 19-10-2 on the season. Started 3-3, so that would be what 16-7 last week.
I think something like that. Yeah,
16-7. I had a lot of plays. I did what Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday night hit the Louisville game.
Lot of volume. You were nice. You even gave out a few PPs before they hit off. We're not doing that this week, fellas. So you're listening. You got to get the plays here. All right. We're going to give out plays. I think Joe will probably post a whole bunch, probably more than me. I'll post a few. But you're listening. You want to get the podcast plays? Got to listen in here. I'm going to put in a new sound effect for the PPs. I get so many DMs about this every week, guys. I don't know what else I can help you, so I'm just going to put in a sound effect for a PP, okay? So if you send me a DM for the PP and ask me for it, my answer is I'm not going to answer anything back. You should know because the sound effect will be there. Figure it out.
All right, let's go over a couple of things. Thursday night, of course, Clemson covered against Georgia Tech, went over the total. That holy war, Utah took care of business. Some people didn't win their bets because it didn't go 55 minutes, but nope, mine cashed. So I'm not sure if you saw that at all, Dan.
Yeah, I think it did resume. So, I lost my ticket. I'll tell you that. I had BYU bet 7.5, and I lost my ticket.
Okay. I had Cincinnati over UCLA. I know the line smelled fishy, but it was a square play, and it worked. And I'll tell you, if UCLA's quarterback could have held on to the football, it would have been a different game.
And so, if UCLA doesn't have four of their best players out, four. True. Did not say anything pregame, four of their best players. So yeah. Tulane also destroyed FIU. Good. Destroyed them. Wasn't even close. Just an absolute mashing. The Sharps lost on that one badly.
So that was Thursday night. Friday, Wisconsin destroyed South Florida. The Charlie Strong era is not off to a good start.
Charlie Strong is, let's just say it, he's a bad coach. He's a bad coach. Can we just kind of move on from the whole like USF Charlie Strong good? He's a bad coach. His team was not prepared.
Army is down. I took them first half. They lost, but they won 14-7. They escaped.
Did not cover.
Rutgers did cover, and they still shouldn't be favored by 17 points against anyone. UMass will be bad.
I think they deserve to be favored by more than 17 versus UMass. They covered. They won. That game went over, like I said it would in the podcast. Yep. Hope you took that. The Rutgers easily covered against UMass.
Colorado was one of my PPs. Of course, like I said, there's death, there's taxes, and there's Colorado over Colorado State.
Bang, so, bang. Nice win there.
That was a PP. And then Utah State,
another heartbreaking loss for that team. Their offense looked fantastic, but they cannot beat these Power Five teams. They always find a way to lose. Wake Forest wins, but doesn't cover.
Jordan Love's awesome quarterback. And I'm glad he threw that interception at the end because I had them +5 and they ended up escaping. So,
yep.
And then the nightcap on Friday, Oklahoma State, that game went way over too.
Offense looks amazing. What did I tell you, Tylan Wallace, that kid can play. That kid is amazing. Their offense is going to be potent all year.
And Oregon State plays Hawaii this week, who, of course, won against Arizona in the Degenerate Special on Saturday night. Just to go, cap real through, Ohio State looked good.
Did not cover. Blew the cover.
Right. It's true. Bama, LSU, Georgia all covered. Oregon and Auburn, just so you know, I was at the casino when it happened, and I popped when Auburn scored a touchdown. I tweeted out that I don't think Auburn has it, and then they scored it, and I deleted it. Yet our good friend Kevin Winter over at ESPN said, I saw you, Joey Burr, and then I don't know, I did the old double down Auburn second half, and boom, 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 boom. Michigan didn't look good. Iowa State survived. Stanford, Northwestern, oh my God, bad beat of the century there.
Just one of the worst. And I'm, to be honest with you, I told you I was on the opposite side. I was on Stanford. I was
on Northwestern. No, dude, Northwestern has the old transfer there from Clemson, who backed up not Bryant, but another kid in they should have won that
Watson?
Game.
Talking about the kid who backed up Watson.
Yeah, him. But whatever. Northwestern blew that game.
Agreed. Northwestern is going to be a good team this year. Their defense looks fantastic.
Out on Florida State. Out.
What I tell you? Why are you back in Florida State? Willie Taggart sucks. He sucks. That offensive line second half looked horrible. Like that legitimately was one of the worst offensive line plays I've seen from Florida State. Just garbage.
Memphis beat Ole Miss 15-10. There was a strip sack. A safety with 3 minutes to go in the game that made it 15-10. So if you had three, that safety saved the day, which I did.
Memphis touchdown called back immediately in the start of the second half, which I was furious about.
North Carolina upset South Carolina. That was a good game. Great catch by UNC in that one. Tennessee sucks. They lose to Georgia State.
What I tell you, they're always hyped and they always suck.
I think they're favored this week. We'll get into that.
They are favored this week. We'll definitely discuss that one.
I gave away Boston College as a PP. They won outright, plus 165.
You took the money line too. Pat yourself on the back, PP. You took the 4 or 5. You took the 4.5 and the money line. Good job, Joe.
Wyoming stinks, but they beat Mizzou, who has
Wyoming. I told you, Wyoming is not a bad team this year. They are going to be good. They are going to get a lot of wins. They're going to create a lot of issues in that Mountain West.
So I went against Pittsburgh like I always do. You freaked out, but nope, UVA, they were down 14-3 at the half.
I know, I was on Pittsburgh second half. I liked the second half. The line was all about Pittsburgh there. UVA won that game. You got over your Pittsburgh hump. I think you can officially say you're done with the curse of Pittsburgh.
I didn't post it, but I took the money line and the points in that one against the spread. USC lost JT Daniels, so they're done.
And Fresno should have won that game. Let's just be honest.
I watched the end of that. Yeah.
I thought Fresno should have won that game. When they finally opened it up, they finally looked like a good team. I think Fresno is going to be a very good team this year. Their schedule looks super easy.
Oklahoma didn't cover, but Jalen Hurts looked really good.
Yeah, legitimate Heisman candidate. We were both on Hurts to win the Heisman this year. Our bet looks good there, Joe.
And the total landed on 80. I had 80 points exactly, so another push. And I took Louisville plus the 19, Notre Dame won by 18.
I had Louisville. I rode Louisville with you. I actually liked the under in that one. And you actually texted me. You thought the final was going to be 34-17 Notre Dame. Final was 35-17. You were point off.
I was hot. I had a hot week. Bookie's got to pay up this week.
I started real low. I started low. I started bad. I was not doing well. I think what I took Akron, they only lost by 39. They looked horrible. That just was a bad read by me. Just an absolute terrible read by me. There's no excuse there. Eastern Carolina drove down the field, scored a touchdown, called it back, fumbled the ball. And after that, they couldn't score for the rest of the game. Honestly, I don't regret that pick. I would make that pick over again. Eastern Carolina should have covered that game, might have even should have won that game if they don't turn the ball over three times. And right before the second half, fumble in the North Carolina State end red zone. Instead of the safety jumping on the ball, he tried to pick it up and scoop it and didn't get the ball. And so therefore, NC State got the ball back. Terrible there for me. But you know what? That's a loss. Fresno State was my other PP. They covered and won, and almost won. Right at the end, they had a chance there. I ended up going 6-4 on the day. I think I took the Louisville second half Monday. So 6-5 on the weekend. Not great. But it's a winning weekend. I didn't have to pay my bookie. I made
a lot
like
of, I a
made
lot a little. Play. I mean, that's what it is. That you know, it, when you like now this week, I look at it and I say, oh well, you know, with NFL on Sunday and the slate not as big as last week, I'm going to take it a little bit. I'm going to spot it a little bit more. You know, just because there was games all over the place last week.
Yeah.
So that's what I say about this next upcoming week.
I just quickly want to review a few things. First off, USF looks like one of the worst teams in the country. I would pull back a little bit. They're going to be better, but
just to share on that, they're 6-point dogs to Georgia Tech this week.
Yeah, and Georgia Tech again, who could not move the ball versus Clemson because again, as we said, Joe, spread offense turning into a spread offense. This is what happens. Option offense to a spread offense. Obviously, what's going to happen? You know, it's not even a question. They're going to struggle badly. So USF looked terrible. They'll get better. Whiskey is going to be overvalued because of that win, by the way. Ohio State should have covered versus FAU. I don't know what the hell happened after the first quarter. It seemed like they stopped caring. I'll tell you this, Joe, one of my biggest takeaways, LSU, they prepared for the triple option for 6 or 7 weeks. They're going to be significantly overvalued this week. Telling you right now, you can already tell where I'm going.
Great game this week for LSU as they take on Texas. Texas as a home dog. Opened at 6, now down to 2.5. So you're right about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Mario Cristobal for Oregon. Garbage. Guy is a garbage head coach. Does not deserve that job. Should not be there. He's lucky that he has so much talent. Because
and you know who they play this week is Nevada.
Yeah, I know, but it's in Oregon this week. So
I still think Nevada could hang around on that one.
Tennessee favorite this week again. We'll definitely touch that one. USC facing Stanford. That will be a big game this week as well.
Lines off the table.
Yep. So we got a bunch of stuff to talk about.
I wanted to bring up Purdue's on the list. I'm not touching them. Florida State, not touching them, and I'm giving Northwestern a week. These teams that just there's certain teams you just can't bet.
I think Purdue they lost to Eastern Michigan last year.
Like Purdue's favorite against Vandy this week.
Yeah, and again,
should be Vandy, but. But again, Vandy played hard last week.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Then they should beat Vandy. But again, Purdue struggles versus they're kind of out of conference. Whatever.
Like, will Army be EMU? Will Michigan be overvalued against Army? Like, there's a lot of
Michigan looked. Michigan looked like crap. Maybe it was just me. I don't think they look good, which should scare the hell out of people. I don't think they look great.
So that's pretty much the wrap up from last week. We'll get into this week's games and of course, NFL Week 1. Tons of stuff. Tons of trends as well. So we'll start it there. It's over under 985. We're going to answer it. We're going to take it to the window this week. This is going to be a big packed show. So we're moving it along this week. If you listen to the whole entire thing, we'll get through it all. And of course, Dan's going to have those sounders for our PPs as well. So you are listening to 985, the Sports Subs, over under 985, the podcast. He's Dan Lifshitz. I'm Joe Murray. Next, we'll take a look at Friday's football games. Yep, they start on Friday night in college football, and we'll have them next here on Over Under 95.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at OverUnder985.
All right, we're back here on OverUnder985. It says it's week two. We know there was week zero, week one, and now week two. So there are Friday night games. I know I sent you an email, Dan, with just some of the games maybe to cover on Friday night. The big one that's on television that's actually going to get some interest is Boise State They host Marshall. Right now, the line is 12 points, and the over-under is 56.5. I was impressed with Boise State. Losing Rippon, losing their running back. They looked really good offensively and defensively. I know there was a few turnovers that happened in the game, but Marshall, like, getting 12 points, it looks interesting to me, but I just think Boise. And who knows, right? Boise coming off a big win against an ACC team. Maybe they become fade material in the situation.
I mean, it's possible. Marshall is a very good team. Like, we shouldn't let's not basically crap on Marshall here, but the fact is that, you know, Boise State went into Florida State, I mean, in Tallahassee, with Hank Bachmeier, their freshman quarterback, and won that game. And honestly, should have won that game by more. They struggled early. They should have won that game by more. As much as I like Marshall, and I do, they're a good Conference USA team, okay? Do not get me wrong. They are a good team. I got to be a little square. I lean the Boise State minus the 12.
Me too.
I just think that they're at home. You know, first home start for Bachmeier, more comfortable. They just went cross-country. The only thing I will say is, Joe, this might be a look-ahead game, okay? And that is the one thing that scares me. Not exactly that you're looking forward to Portland State, but the week afterwards is Air Force. So I don't know. It's not a true look-ahead spot. To me, it's Boise State or nothing in this one. To me, there's no way that I'm looking at anything else. The over-under is at 56.5, Joe. The over does look interesting. I mean, it's interesting. They went way over. They went way over on the Florida State game, and Marshall scores a lot of points. I wouldn't take it, but the over is certainly something to look at, maybe.
Marshall played VMI last week. They had 8 receivers caught at least 2 passes in the game, so they are a passing attack. They lost one of their best defensive players, though.
Yep.
Hurt his neck, so he's going to be out for this one. There's just so many things that back the Broncos here. They've won 17 straight home openers. 26 of the last 27 non-conference games on the blue turf. So, you know, and they just creeped into the top 25. I think they're ranked 24 now. I saw some stat. They're 107-19 as a top 25 team.
I don't really like the top 25 rankings. Yeah, but again, good win versus Florida State. So I agree they should deserve to be there. But top 25 rankings sort of around this time of the year doesn't mean too much, you know?
Yeah, and Marshall's was voted to win the East of the Conference USA. The last time these two teams played was the 94 Division 1AA FCS playoffs.
Holy crap. Okay, so so there's no history between the teams.
But just going back, yeah, but the way Boise, to me, this is a Friday night. It's Boise on the blue turf or nothing.
I agree. It's Boise or nothing.
Completely agree with that one. There are some other games on for nothing really interesting. But like, I wouldn't take Virginia versus William & Mary. Rice, Wake Forest, Rice hangs around.
We should talk about this one. Wake Forest, 19-point favorites, over under 59 on the board. Rice looked better, dude. Like, they look like they can actually play a little bit. I don't want to get too ahead of myself and say, you know, maybe their program took a down year or whatever, and they lost the game, you know, rightfully so. They didn't deserve to win that game. But 19-point dogs versus Wake Forest in Rice? I lean Rice. I know that's, you know, a little strong. I lean them. I think it's an under game, too. 59, the total. Rice looked like he played a little bit of defense. I lean under. I lean Rice. I lean the dog.
Just one thing. They played last year, and Wake Forest won 56-24.
Yeah, again, but Rice was just a garbage team last year. And again, they might be again. I'm not going to take too much into it again, which is why I'm probably not going to play the game. But I'm just saying, you know.
And the kid Hinton, was it Kendall Hinton from Wake Forest, is legit. I saw a stat. He's first player in school history to have a touchdown in 5 different seasons. So he's a fifth-year senior for Wake Forest. Yeah, I'll stay away, but Rice, you know, getting that many points is something to look at. And then Friday night, Arizona State, who won last week, they play Sacramento State. They're 36-point favorites.
Yeah, Virginia, 34.5-point favorites. Total on that one, Joe, by the way, in Virginia, William & Mary, 44.5.
Over.
I lean under. See, I initially lean under. Okay. I don't think William & Mary is going to score
I
much.
Do that in basketball. like in college basketball, if something's like a really high spread but the total's low, sometimes I do go under in those cases.
I think this is an under game. I think William Mary maybe like a touchdown. I don't know. I don't feel great. I lean under there. I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to play it either side. Probably Virginia probably doesn't cover the spread though.
Okay. Moving on to Saturday. Not a great slate. Like I like to look at the noon games like right away when it comes to
there's an early game. There's an early yeah. game.
Ohio and Pitt play at 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
So Pitt is at home getting favored against a good Ohio team, where Pitt's coming off a loss against one of their big rivals. In a way, like I do like that Pittsburgh team, but Ohio, I feel like it's not getting the respect here.
Dude, they're the MAC favorite to win the title this year outside of Toledo. Like it's them and Toledo neck and neck. Now I know I chose Eastern Michigan, and again they won last week, so that you know does make me look good. But I'll tell you this, Joe, Pittsburgh has a look ahead to Penn State next week. And then they have UCF the week afterwards. Like this is a look ahead spot if there ever was one. I'll tell you this: I'm going Ohio in the 5.5.
And it's 11 a.m. You know, could they be? Well, what's going on Friday night in Pittsburgh? You know what I mean?
This has all the makings of just a collapse for Pittsburgh. Not a PP, but this is a general spot that I really like to to look at. Pittsburgh home game. But 5.5, look at two look ahead spot, double look ahead, Penn State and UCF. This is a must win for Pittsburgh, it almost feels like. But at the same time, this is also a big look ahead spot for them. I definitely like Ohio in the spot. Not going to play it, but or at least not right now. But Ohio 5.5 looks pretty decent to me.
All right. Just want to knock out a couple games here.
Yep.
South Carolina is playing. There's no spread. Virginia Tech, Old Dominion. Like, this is one where. Like at 28 points, 27 points, I'd like to look at Old Dominion.
Old Dominion won last year.
Coming off a loss, though, you know?
It's a revenge spot. Old Dominion beat them outright last year.
Yeah.
So, again, now Fuente does not look good. His team did not look good versus BC. Joe, you were on the money on that one. This is a little concerning. I do think that VT probably covers it. I think Old Dominion's going to score a little bit, though. Like, don't you think that team who, beat VT last year... Not like any new coaching staffs or anything. I think they're going to score a little bit. Kind of like the over 56 in that one.
Yep. Good call on that, considering both, good quarterback. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to lay on. See, just these noon games. They scare me. I like a good game when it comes to the noon game. Like West Virginia, Missouri, out. I have no play on that. But Missouri should win. Both those teams stink, though.
I tell you, I don't think Missouri sticks. I think they're a good team, Joe. I think that Wyoming team is way better than people give them credit for. I think Missouri is going to be pretty good this year with Kelly Bryant. I think it was a bad, bad game for them. Another home game. I expect Missouri to cover that. Probably goes over the total.
For fun, 62.5. I'd like Iowa by 3 touchdowns over Rutgers.
I agree, Joe. I mean, Iowa had a really tough game last week. And maybe it's a look-ahead spot. I haven't looked at Iowa's schedule. Yeah. But I agree with you. I think that Iowa's probably going to blow out Rutgers. Okay, it is a look-ahead spot. They face Iowa State next week. So, not great. Not great. Yeah. That makes it a little bit tougher. I still am going to ride with the Iowa minus 20. I think Iowa could probably roll out of bed and beat this team by 3 touchdowns. I'm going to roll with you. I like Iowa minus 20. By the way, over under that one, 49. 49.5. Pretty low.
And, okay, cool. And then, again, these noon games, I just, there's nothing big. And I know I sent down a rundown, and we'll go over that in a little bit here. I'm fidgeting around here. But what else I had for the noon games I thought was interesting, Syracuse on the road to Maryland. Syracuse ranked, and Maryland's minus 2 at home.
Syracuse opened in most books, and I'll see what I can find, what book they open. Syracuse opened as 2.5-point favorites, Joe. And the Sharps opened a penny, too, at 2.5-point and 5 dimes. So they opened, the general consensus of a lot of the popular books. Immediately bet down, and now they're a 2-point dog. This should scare you. That's a big move. That's a pretty sizable move on a team that... is probably going to be overrated with Maryland, but
I like Maryland.
I agree. I think it's Maryland or nothing. I'm not playing it. I'll tell you that one. I will avoid that game.
You know,
like the
those low spreads, man. You know, and that's what I mean. I think Syracuse will get a lot of backing because they're ranked, because they get a good offense. What's the quarterback's name for Maryland? Jackson, is it?
Yeah,
I watched him. I watched him play last week.
The transfer from Virginia Tech.
He had 4 touchdowns last week. He was pretty good.
He also was playing Howard, and so I think Maryland. I think Maryland will get a lot of love for that because they scored like what 79 points on Howard. But I think Maryland's going to get their fair share of love. I'll tell you this: I am not touching that game, avoiding that like the plague.
Okay, the other noon game: Ohio State versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati coming off that win against UCLA, and of course Ohio State took care of business. Spread 16 on this one. Like, I'd like to think that Cincinnati can hang around here. I think, I don't know how else to say this, but I think they're going to get their dicks kicked in Cincinnati.
It opened at 17. So sharp action definitely early on Cincinnati. I got to be honest with you, Joe. I agree. I think Ohio State's going to kick the absolute crap out of Cincinnati. I was not impressed by Cincinnati. I watched that game, by the way. After the Pats game, I watched the full game. I thought UCLA was horrible. And if Dorian Thompson Robinson doesn't just drop the ball twice for no reason, I'm not sure Cincinnati wins that game. I got to be honest with you, Joe. I like Ohio State. I like them big. I thought about making this a PP earlier. It's not going to be. But I definitely lean Ohio State in this one, and you know me. I'm not usually a big backer of the big boys.
Yeah, I just think Fields, everything that happened there, his opening day rush. I still think, though, that Cincinnati, Warren was battling cramp injuries last week. He gets a lot of touches. They're going to have to throw the football to beat Ohio State. And right now the number is 16. People may back Cincinnati here. If he can get to 15, I'll buy it down to 14. That's a play.
I feel pretty good at 16. I don't think I need to do anything. I mean, 17 probably a key number right there. I don't feel like I need to do anything. I think I'm probably just taking it at 16. 3 scores? I think they can win by 3 scores.
How about I think Army has to play better. Yeah, again, maybe it was Rice that was better, but a lot of people had expectations for them. Michigan's been really good at the beginning of the year, 16-2 under Jim Harbaugh, record wise. They've won what, 25 of 29 home games since he's been there. And, Army has a 10 game winning streak going right now.
Yeah. Well, it's going to get snapped because it's a 22, it's a 22.5 point spread to Michigan. They're not going to beat Michigan. I don't think, I mean, it would be pretty surprising if they were able to beat them outright. I don't know, Joe. I don't have a tremendous amount of faith in Army to cover the spread, but, man, Michigan did not look great last week. I really don't know where to go in this one. I'm pretty torn. The over-under is at 47. I actually think this is going to be an over game. Like, I think if Army wants to stay in this game, they're actually going to have to score. I think there's going to be a lot of people on the under this week. I know Army's a traditional under team. I do think that this is an overplay. I don't have a real lean on the spread. Sorry.
Okay, and the 3 o'clock game to where it's at, but just to touch on a few, just off the bat here, I was just looking at the Utah Northern Illinois game. Utah's getting a lot of love now. Northern Illinois, I think, will hang around. It's 23 right now. That's going to be a three touch. That's going to be within those 3 touchdowns.
I'll tell you this. I think Northern Illinois is going to cover that game.
Yeah, I agree. So, like, it's either, to me, I wouldn't touch Utah on the spot, or it's either Northern Illinois or nothing, and I don't like Northern Illinois enough.
I mean, did you see their defense? Unreal. Their defense is still unreal. They're a MAC team, but they are a fantastic defensive team. I'm not going to touch the total, but I think Northern Illinois can score a little bit on that Iowa team. I got to be honest with you, Joe, despite the fact they blew out BYU, were you that impressed with them? Because 2 pick sixes from BYU, and that game was close.
I thought Moss was.
Moss was great.
They made a few mistakes, too.
Moss is just a great running back, man. That kid runs with power. But honestly, 2 pick sixes, take those away from BYU. What is that game? It's close. It's pretty close.
So I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to touch this game, but I like South Florida over Georgia Tech. And I know G-Tech's at home. I just think South Florida, they're going to get their asses kicked at practice all week long. They should not be 6-point dogs at Georgia Tech. I'm sorry. Shouldn't be.
Am I crazy? Am I a psychopath for locking this up as a PP?
For USF?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't lock it. I like it. It's 2 o'clock game. There's plenty of games on the, you know what? If you want to do it, you might as well get the sounder going.
Let me think on that. Let me tell you this. I'm going to be on USF. Okay.
It's circled.
Okay. You know what? Screw it. USF. It's at 6.5 right now on Five Dimes.
I get 5. Yeah. 6.5.
I'm going to buy it up to 7. Oh, a key number. By the way, we got a question this week, Joe. When do you buy? Me? Key numbers. I buy up to key numbers. Very rarely do I buy. In this case, I don't think it's going to get past 6.5. I think that's probably the best number you'll get. I'm going to take USF 7 at Georgia Tech. I'm going to take buy it up to 7 PP, and I'm going to make a little mark here so I can put a damn sounder in PP.
Okay. Wisconsin's going to be favored big time. They're playing Central Michigan. Right now they're 33-point favorites. I think they're going to be overvalued in this case. I think they win the game, probably win comfortably. I think it's too many points. Like I see like a, you know, a 40-17 game or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin's definitely going to be overvalued here. They blew out USF, had literally all summer to prepare for them. Clearly outcoached them because Charlie Strong's an idiot, which again, I can't believe I'm backing Charlie Strong against Georgia Tech. I already feel gross inside because I think he's a terrible coach. But I do think that Georgia Tech is going to struggle offensively, at least. I'll tell you this. Wisconsin, over under 51. I don't think they're going to cover the spread. I think they're going to be heavily overvalued. I think that game is going to go under. I think we're going to see like a 32-10 type game. Like, I think Wisconsin will score a little bit, but I don't think they're going to blow them out.
Okay, now we're talking some games here with 3:30 around. Nebraska, Colorado. Last year I had Colorado in the spot. I'm backing them again. They're 4-point home dogs. They're a good team. Colorado is good. Alex, what is it? Fontenot is their running back. Guy does it all. Literally does it all. They run that upstart offense that they have. I haven't been impressed with Nebraska. Like, Nebraska needs to win this game convincingly for me to be like, okay, they're back. I know Scott, I know they struggled in their first game as well. To me, I like this spot, Colorado +4 at home. I don't feel like they're getting the respect. I know the total's around 64. I'd go over on that one. But give me the 4 points, and you know what? I might even dabble on Colorado to win outright.
Are you taking that as a PP, Joe?
Not yet, but I'm circling it.
Okay. I'll tell you this. I agree, bud. Nebraska looked garbage last week. And again, I understand week one, they turned it on in the second half. They were better. They were better. But the fact is, they looked like shit. Okay? They looked like shit. Nebraska
had 3 touchdowns that weren't even on offense.
I mean, South Alabama might be one of the worst teams in college football. Like, South Alabama would get their ass kicked by a lot of FCS teams, honestly. They just didn't look good. I can't back them in the spot on the road versus a good Colorado team. Not great, but good. Colorado probably not getting the respect that they deserve, as you said. I agree, Joe. I like Colorado +4. I'm not going to lock it up or play in there or anything, but I'll probably ride with you on Saturday with you.
Yeah, right now, and I'm interested to see where that line goes. If it goes to 5, I'm all over it.
LaVisca
Chenault. This kid is legit. Like, he's going to be like a, I don't want to drop like a big name, but I think he can be a Hopkins type. And he also can run the ball a little bit too. LaVisca Chenault. Kid is a stud over at Colorado.
Nebraska currently getting 69% of the bet. And from what I can see, and again, I don't really trust the money percentages, but 67% of the money. They are up to 4. Definitely, probably a public move. They opened at 3.5.
The play on that one's over, though. Like, if you can't pick it, I like Colorado. So, but over is the play on that
one. I think Nebraska's defense is going to limit Colorado. I think if Colorado wants to win, it's going to have to be in an under game.
I'm going to give you a PP. You want one? Got the sounder ready?
I'm ready, baby.
Give me Central Florida, UCF, against Florida Atlantic.
What's that? I don't even have a spread on that one right now.
-10.
Florida Atlantic. There it is. Okay, yep, I see a 10. Okay. All right, so UCF -10. I mean, dude.
What time is that game again?
That game is, I think it's what, 10 o'clock? 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock.
I know we just skipped a bunch of games.
We just skipped a whole bunch of games. We need to go back. But that's fine. Let's talk about this. I got to be honest with you. I may have underrated Florida Atlantic. I hate Lane Kiffin. I think he's a terribly overrated coach. But
dude, what's the reasoning for the points here? UCF scored how many points last week?
I agree. Also, they were facing Florida A&M. To me, Joe, the big one, this is a look ahead to Stanford. Okay? Like, you know, it's not like...
Oh, is that what it is?
To me, it's a big one to look ahead to Stanford. It's not like UCF is really like, I don't know. This is not exactly the biggest tough matchup in the world for them, you know, but they were in Florida.
Remember last year? Remember Florida Atlantic cut out to a big lead and then Mackenzie Milton brought them all the way back? Maybe they're looking at it like that as well as maybe... This is the game that FAU gets up for. But, yeah, I remember that last year, FAU going up big.
I think Florida Atlantic, the thing I worry about, Joe, is I think Florida Atlantic's actually going to score this week. I think they're going to put up some points. I actually like the over.
Dude, they had 22 rushing yards against Ohio State last week. So maybe they'll try to get their run game going a little bit.
The thing is they were able to pass the ball versus OSU. Like, again, OSU dominated them early, and they were just rolling early first quarter. But after that, the game was – the FAU won the rest of the game. I mean, really, they were pretty good the rest of the way. I don't like Florida Atlantic. I don't like Lane Kiffin. But I got to give credit where credit's due. I think the best play in this game is the over, Joe.
I'll tell you this. Sorry, I skipped all those games.
That's okay. I'm definitely not backing FAU. So, yeah. You skipped what I think is maybe the best game or the second best game of the day.
Clemson, Texas A&M. Give me a case for Texas A&M.
Texas A&M, I mean, the case is that last year Clemson barely beat them. And Clemson is a young team primarily. And
Mondo's back, too.
Mondo's back by primarily sophomores and freshmen for Clemson. You know, they in Texas A&M is probably being undervalued in terms of, you know, the actual betting public. Here's my problem. Everyone seems to love Texas A&M this week, and I think that Clemson was really good versus Georgia Tech. I didn't think they were going to cover versus Georgia Tech. I think Clemson is really in a good spot here at home. You know, if this was on the road, it'd be a different story. And I know they have Syracuse next week. I get that. I totally understand. This is a look ahead, whatever. I fully appreciate that. Syracuse, by the way, that's the big reason I think that they're getting murdered is because this is a big look-ahead week for Syracuse, if anything. Look at the Clemson, by the way, because then I mean that's a huge reason to roll Maryland in that game. Clemson, to me, is the side here. 17.5 points, I understand it's four scores, essentially, or three-score game. But to me, this is a Clemson game. I don't think they're going to, you know, destroy them, but I definitely lean them in this game. I'll tell you this right now. I don't think I'm going to be on this game. You might end up seeing me on it eventually, but I think I definitely lean Clemson right now, Joe.
Total is what?
64.5.
It's right on the number. The total is right. So I'd avoid
it. It opened at 60.5. It's been slammed.
Deal. There. Clemson's won 19 consecutive regular season games. All right. They're not losing to these jerks. And the other thing is Clemson, they've won 11 consecutive games by at least 20 points. So lock it up, baby. PP, Clemson, going to win by 20 points. I'll ride the streak to 12 in a row.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there, too. I think that Clemson is the right side on this one. I think you're going to see everyone and their mother be on Texas A&M trying to hide that. I think everyone should be on, you know, everyone's going to be on Syracuse next week, too. So, you know, I don't want to say anything, but I do think Clemson wins this one.
Okay, moving on because there's real, like, Alabama's 55.5.
I want to talk about a few of these games.
Okay, can Alabama cover 55.5?
Yes, I think they're going to cover 55.5, Joe. Do you?
I'm not touching
Dude,
that.
They have five wide receivers who probably are, like, number one receivers for most college teams. I think
Judy's the best player in the country.
Oh, dude, he is ridiculous. They're going to cover that game. They're going to cover
it. What other games are you on?
I want to talk about the San Diego State-UCLA game. At 4:15, to me, this is a big game. Like San Diego, if UCLA loses this game, we have to talk about legitimately UCLA thinking about firing Chip Kelly, because they'll be 0-2 already, and they would have lost to two opponents, two non-five power opponents, okay? San Diego State won 6-0 last week. Offensively, garbage. Defensively, stout. I don't really know what to expect from Dorian Robinson-Thompson. I'll tell you this, that I don't think that he was any good last week. He was looked like one of the worst college players in the entire country. I don't know how you could want to back them. I understand that San Diego State is not a powerhouse. They're not super well known. But I'll tell you this, San Diego State getting 8 points, not exactly a far ride from UCLA. I mean, it's not like it's a big road trip for them. Give me San Diego State plus the 8. Absolutely. And I'm not going to lock it up because I have a few other things, but I like that one a lot.
So just a couple of things. San Diego State always hangs around. Like, they're one of those teams that just always do. But I don't know why. I have to look into it a little bit more, but I look at the line. I lean San Diego State just off the bat. And you mentioned the whole Chip Kelly thing. I don't think he's going to get fired because they look decent at times. It's Dorian Thompson Robinson is their issue. Like, he holds on to the football, and boom. Now San Diego State has this quarterback, Ryan Agnew. I think they're 6-1 since he's been under center. And then San Diego State's always had a star running back, right? Always. I look at it here. UCLA is still not what everyone thinks. I think people want them to be better. I still think the running attack for San Diego State would be what they lean on. I hate Pac-12 teams just in general, so I don't like to bet on them. I think UCLA wins this game.
Agreed. I think UCLA wins this game, but I think it's going to be close. I think you're talking about a one-score game, and if I can get 8 points.
I'm going under. I'm going way under.
It's 45.5.
Under.
Opened at 47.5. I don't know about the under. I don't love the total, to be honest with you. I think if San Diego State's going to be in this game, I think they're going to have to score a little bit.
Give me a 17-13 game.
Could be. I'll tell you this. I think San Diego State's going to keep it within one score. That hook to me, that 7.5, which is actually 8 now, to me, that says it all. I like San Diego State to cover, and at least to cover. Okay. I do want to go.
And I don't know what else you're looking at here. Like, well, I don't care about Southern Methodist or North Texas or any of these teams.
Well, I'll tell you this. We missed the Vandy-Purdue game. Do you want to go back and talk about that one?
I'm out on Purdue. They're on the list.
Okay, so you're on Vandy on that one.
No, I'm out. I'm out.
Not betting it?
I am out on that game.
Okay, I'll tell you this.
They should be on the list, and they didn't even do anything wrong. Actually, they lost to Georgia State, so they're out.
I do have a lean on that one. I think that's an underplay. You want to talk about an under? For that, I'll under. Let me give you a PP, Joe. I know you're going to hate this.
Oh, no. Is it BYU?
Nope, it's not. Let's just get into it. Let's just get into it because the listeners are going to hate me. The listeners are going to hate me.
What is this?
Last week, I gave out Akron plus 17 versus Illinois. They got demolished.
Oh, that wasn't good.
They got demolished.
You know that some guy put like $80,000
duffel bag better, but $55,000 bets on Illinois and another five-figure wager that was not confirmed. All of them on Illinois last week. Illinois is a terrible fucking football team. Akron was bad last week, and I will take the L. That was bad. But let me tell you something. Illinois is going into Connecticut this week, 3:30 game. Illinois sucks. They suck. I know Connecticut barely beat Wagner.
No,
I don't think Wagner is that much worse than Illinois. Connecticut plus 21.5 PP. Lock it up.
Well, we always talk about teams being overvalued, right? I guess that's the egg.
Is there a better week to take to fade Illinois coming off a massive win? I mean, dude, I'm not kidding. 93% of the bet on Illinois. 99% of the money on Illinois. Fuck Illinois. Connecticut is going to cover this game, and I'm gonna be that guy. Sprinkle the money line. Sprinkle that money line. I think Connecticut might win this game. I'm going to be an idiot. I'm going to look like such a dumbass if they get absolutely murdered, which is possible. But I like Connecticut again. I'm going to ride them. Connecticut plus 21.5.
Okay, and just while we're at it, BYU, Tennessee. I hate Tennessee. I think BYU is going to just be bad this year.
But why do I like BYU in this
game? Oh, dude, me too. I like BYU too. Why? Because Tennessee just got murdered by Georgia State in Tennessee. In Tennessee. I mean, they got murdered by Georgia State, who, again, is not like great. They were like, what, 2-12 last year? I don't remember what the hell. They were 2-10, whatever they were in 2018. They were not a good team. Okay, they almost lost to Kennesaw State. All right, so I mean, really, let's not give them too much credit. Nonetheless,
okay, all right. I'm just moving on. I'm excited about all these games. You back Auburn at all?
Hold on. So are you on BYU or Tennessee?
BYU.
You're on BYU. Okay.
Listen, I'll take if I can get it at 4, that'd be great.
I think it's going to move to 4. I really do. There's a lot of money.
It's going to be a 23-20 game. Winning that game 23-20.
Don't you think BYU has to score this game? Like if Tennessee sucked last week, but they still put up points. Don't you think BYU has to score?
Yeah, and quarterback was hyped. They had his mom and his dad in interviews, and I'm like, come on, put the game back on.
I think this one's going to go over the 52 points. Not that I'm not going to take it, but I like BYU in the over on that one. Let's move on.
All right, Auburn and Tulane. Tulane played, they looked awesome. They did. Auburn just had this great win. Normally an SEC team should destroy them, but 19 points?
I don't know who Auburn plays, and I'll take a look. But
they play Tulane.
No, next week. I don't know who they play, but this is another kind of perfect look ahead spot if there is one. Oh, they're playing Kent State. Never mind. This is not a look ahead spot. Tulane is definitely going to be undervalued, but I feel like you're going to get a lot of backing this week. I don't know, man. This is a tough one. This is one I'm probably going to lay off. If I was to like something in this game, it's probably the under 52. Like I don't think that I know that Tulane just trounced Florida International last week, but I don't think they're going to put up a lot on Auburn. Auburn's going to have a tough time scoring against the defense. Under game. I like Tulane the cover, but I definitely don't feel great about it.
All right, the big one this week, Texas hosting LSU. I've been on this kind of game before, where Texas has won. I know when you see something, it smells like I said, if it looks like a fish and smells like a fish. Normally that's what it is. No, I'm not buying it. Give me Joe Burrow and his 5 touchdowns. And Hilaire at running back for UCLA and Jefferson at receiver. Like, give me those. They're going to – I hate teams to go into – the over is probably the play, right? What is that, 55 right now?
56.
Whatever. The over is probably the play on the LSU and the over. LSU and the over.
Couldn't disagree more. I mean, really, LSU, again, had an entire summer to prepare for the triple option. Congratulations. Round of applause, LSU. Congratulations for really doing well versus the triple option, a high school offense. I'm super proud of you guys.
It's gone from 6 to 2.5, though.
I have LSU minus 6.5.
Oh, no, sorry. Open to 2.5. It's gone up to 6.5.
I have the opener 4.5. It's up to 6. Either way. Yeah, the sharps are on LSU. The sharps, you, Joey Murr, are a sharp this week. Because the sharps are definitely on LSU. That's a pretty sizable move.
I'm telling you. No, normally, like I said, in this case, it doesn't look right. But, I'm hot, so I'm going with LSU.
I'm not betting this one. Or I'm not going to be – this is not a PP or anything. I like Texas, man.
Texas at home is Texas, one of those teams, too.
Seriously, and they just beat a good Louisiana Tech team, and they destroyed them. Like, it wasn't close. And La Tech, okay, they're not, like, a great team, but they're always a good Conference USA team. Always good for, like, 8-9 wins a year. They destroyed that team. It wasn't even close. I tell you this, Texas, to me, is getting disrespected. 6.5 points, you can easily buy that up to 7. I would actually wait. I think it probably will end up at 7 the way it's going by kickoff. I'm not touching it. I do agree. Over is the play. For me, my favorite play is definitely the over on that one. So can I go back a little bit to 7 o'clock here to 2 games I want to quickly talk about?
Yep.
Coastal Carolina and Kansas. Okay.
I know. What did Kansas do last week?
Kansas won. Barely. Did not cover, though. Indiana State covered the 9.5. They did not win. Les Miles got the win, but they did not cover. Coastal Carolina is coming into Kansas, okay? I got this line at 10. It's down to 8.5 now. Looks like it's 7.5 somewhere. Coastal Carolina is going to win. Coastal Carolina is going to win this game, man. I mean, Kansas sucks. They barely they barely beat Indiana State, Joe.
I'm not falling for this.
What do you mean? You're not falling?
This is what week two is all about.
Oh, yeah. Everyone and their mother loving Kansas.
I'm in Kansas right now.
Oh, no, thank you. Coastal Carolina is going to cover this.
This is why the listeners are like, what the hell's going on with you guys?
Coastal Carolina is going to cover. It's Kansas. It's Kansas. It's not basketball.
I'm not doing it.
You are crazy, man.
All right, that's fine. Call me crazy.
Okay, that's fine. Coastal Carolina plus 8.5 PP.
Oh, bang. You locked it up. I'm taking Nevada plus the 24 against Oregon.
You locking that up?
Nope. Just the only thing I'll say is Oregon score. Well, the last time they played, they like, God, what's the line again?
What?
I see Oregon winning this game 42-21, and I like Nevada.
It's 24. I'll tell you this right now, Joe. Let me see if I can get these bet percentage up. 70% of the bet on Oregon, 67% of the bet on the under. So that is people definitely like
it. That would go over, right?
I don't totally disagree with them, but I don't like it. I don't know. It is what it is. It's okay. It's not great. I got a couple more games. I got a couple more things.
I got a couple too. Miami destroyed North Carolina last year. They're going to do it again, and they're getting a favorable number. Three and a half. Give me Miami. People are going to be all in on North Carolina after what happened last week.
Be careful with this, Joe. This opened at 6.
I saw that. Smells funny. I'm fading all that line movement. I'm fading this week.
So you are locking this up?
No,
not okay. Not a lockup. All right. Let me give you another lock. I have a few more. Western Kentucky, Florida International. Western Kentucky got beat by Central Arkansas last week. Outright lost to an FCS team, just got dominated. Okay. Florida International got dominated, but at least it was by Tulane. At least it was by a good team. Florida International, 7.5-point favorites. Buy it down to 7. Florida International PP. There you go.
I just saw this line. It just came out. Stanford at USC. The spread is 1 right now. You can get Stanford minus 1 at USC. Lock it up. PP. Stanford. Done. Moving on.
I'll tell you this. I am strongly against that play. Could not be stronger against it. I'm telling you right now, USC is going to win that game.
Dude, last year I watched the Stanford-USC game. It was 17-3. And they were like tied 3-3 down the whole time. And then Stanford blew it away in the second half. I don't know who's going to be a quarterback for USC. No. Stanford, they're gonna win this game 20-13.
I don't agree. I think USC is gonna
PP,
win.
PP, PP.
I got it. I'm telling you right now, USC is gonna find a way to win that game. To me, it smells funny, dude. That is a smell funny, do not touch the damn line game. I mean, really, that is you have balls. I'm telling you right now. Stanford USC is going to be an over battle. USC is going to score. They're going to be able to run the ball. I mean, seriously, Northwestern should have beat Stanford last week in Stanford, Joe. Now you're going to back Stanford. Now you're going to back Stanford on the road. Why?
Yep. Now I know what I know what I saw.
But why? There's no reason that they should have lost on the road. They should have lost at home.
Who the hell is going to be their quarterback this week? This guy named Slavis. Went 6 of 8 with an interception against Fresno. He's now going to play a good defense. No.
Dude, did you see the point
on the road? Give me Stanford.
Dude, he threw a bomb. That was like a perfect throw last week. He threw an absolute bomb that was right on the money to the USC wide receiver. I understand he's a freshman, but we just saw a freshman go in the Florida State and beat the Seminoles.
So I'll give you some backing, okay? Stanford, when they play for some reason, whenever USC opens up, they open up against Stanford. Not sure why. Stanford's 5-4 in those games. So I like Stanford to continue that trend.
Ugh, man, I okay.
Yeah, so I got Colorado, and we got and I got Stanford.
Yeah, and you got UCF.
Oh, and UCF. I got three. We got three PPs all of a sudden.
Yeah, dude. I think you actually have more too. If I go back, I think I have like three or four already too. I have UConn. I have USF. I'm back in the worst teams this week. UConn, USF. I have FIU and Coastal Carolina, and I'm still not done. I still have more. 7:30. Here's another one, Joe. Mississippi, Arkansas. Arkansas couldn't score versus Portland State, who is widely considered one of the worst FCF teams in the country. At home. They couldn't score at home versus one of the worst FCS teams in the country. And I'm getting Mississippi State at 6.5. You want to talk about a trappy-ass line. Mississippi, 6.5 at home. PP, lock it up.
Wow.
I mean, to me, that one's simple. That is just a gross, disgusting game. No way. No way am I backing Arkansas. They sucked last week. They sucked something good. We have a couple more games to talk about quickly.
Hey, let's not forget about that degenerate special at the end of the night, though.
Oh, I know. We have a bunch more to go. Michigan State, Western Michigan. Spread is 16, over-under is 46.5. Michigan State, okay.
Not even messing around with that one.
Penn State, Buffalo. Buffalo just put on a clinic, covered their spread. Penn State minus 29.5.
Penn State, not falling for it.
Buffalo, give me Buffalo in the 29.5. Total is 56 there. Penn State getting a ridiculous amount of public backing right now, by the way. They're getting 86% of the bet.
All right. I got to get to the degenerate special. Hawaii hosting Oregon State. Now, the Mountain West last week, all right, give them some love. Wyoming beat Missouri. Boise beat Florida State. Nevada beat Purdue. Like, everyone, but the Oregon State, they lost to who? Who'd they lose to? Oklahoma State. What does Oklahoma State do? They throw the football. So give me my Hawaiian heritage. They're going to kick some ass against some Beavers. I like the, you know what? Degenerate special? Hawaii in the over, baby.
I like the over, dude. I know the over is going to be like massively bet by everyone, but damn, how can you not like the over at 78? Definitely do not like Hawaii this week. I think Oregon State's going to cover maybe outright win.
The last time these two teams played, Oregon State won. So
I'll tell you, yeah, this is a classic case of Hawaii being overvalued right now. I agree,
but they didn't do anything impressive enough to make me. I like Hawaii. I think they're going to control the ball.
Hey, you know what? You're hot. Go with it, dude. Don't go. I want three more games. Eastern Michigan, Kentucky. I told you I love Eastern Michigan this year. Kentucky, 15-point favorites, okay? I can't believe they're 15-point favorites. Eastern Michigan, plus 15. I'll be on that side. I'm not going to give it as a PP. I think I've given enough PPs. Two more. California at Washington, Joe. I know you're going to like this game. Washington, just a 14-point favorite. The over-under is 44.5. Ooh. Basically signifies that Washington is going to barely beat them. Open at 12.5, by the way. People have been all over the under 44.5. I think Cal is going to score a little bit. I think Washington's going to score a little bit. I like the over 44.5 that game. Do you have anything
that
there?
That seems like such a low total.
It is. It seems.
Last year they played, Cal won 12-10. I don't know if you remember that game.
I actually don't remember.
Browning was putrid.
Chucking.
And Garbers is back for Cal. So, but yeah, Jacob Eason looks so good.
All right. Here is the most important game to me on the entire slate, Joe. Because this basically determines whether or not I'm going to get my Fresno State over or it's going to be a push. This is what I think, because I think Fresno State has a couple tough games in there. Minnesota, 3-point favorite at Fresno. Fresno getting 65% of the backing. Minnesota opened a 2.5-point favorite. I had a play posted on Twitter last week. Minnesota deserved to lose. Deserved to outright lose to South Dakota State last week. They deserve to lose. If it wasn't for a South Dakota State fumble for no reason with 3 minutes left, Minnesota loses that game outright. Didn't deserve to be in that game. I know this is public. I'm taking Fresno with the three. It's probably going to get down to 2.5, so I'll wait. I'm definitely going to be on Fresno, too. I'm going to be on a lot of plays this week. I'm going to be posting plays on my account. Joe's going to be posting plays on his account. We just gave you a whole slew of PPs. I'm also going to put out plays on the over-under 985 account on Twitter. You got to follow that as well. We just got the 5,000 followers, Joe. Broke 5,000 followers.
Wow, 5,000 followers, huh?
In a year, we broke it. But yeah, that is your college football review for this week. If we miss any games, sorry.
And listen, we just one thing I want to throw out there, the PPs that we gave out, those are games that like we like. We like them now. We generally discuss every single game, but like we like those picks. Everything else is kind of like, hey, I didn't know which way you were going on that. If we didn't give a PP, it's because we just discussed it. That's it.
Yeah, we give our leans, but we're not going to play it right now. And by the way, as Joe said last week, things change. It's Wednesday.
Oh, things change all the time,
man. We're recording this podcast on Wednesday. Things will change by Saturday. Yeah.
That Boise, Florida State game, when it became at Tallahassee, that's what changed my mind. It did. And, I learned.
Yeah, I mean, but nonetheless, things change. Do not get pigeonholed to what we say here. If it's a PP, we're not changing our minds. If it's not a PP, I reserve the right to change my mind if things happen. Fair?
Right.
I think that's fair. All right.
NFL football starting. NFL football, not college, because you know what, Dan? I'll say this before we get into it. I sure hope we get a good week one of NFL because college has been pretty good. That Auburn game was very good last week.
Dude, college football was awesome last week. I can't very even good. Tell you how happy I was, minus the fact that I lost my early bets and I was pissed. But other than that, it was awesome.
You made a nice little comeback.
I did. 6-5 weekend. Not great, but I'll take it.
Guess what? We're 0-0 in the NFL. It's a clean slate, baby.
Oh, I had some preseason games. I think I'm like 4-0 in preseason football winners I've given out.
The Thursday night game, we will discuss that and then get right into the Sunday slate. It is over under 985, the longest edition we've ever done in our lives. We'll talk to you right after this.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with over under 985. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lipschatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
It is over under 985. We will finally have NFL football beginning on Thursday night. Between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. I know some people are butthurt that the Patriots aren't opening the season like they normally do, but I'm actually okay with it.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. I mean, look, I love to watch the Pats. I love to go to the game on like a Thursday or whatever, but you know what? I don't mind a Sunday night game. Here's the way I look at it. I hate the 1 o'clock Patriots games. I like to watch all the games on Red Zone. I like to, you know, be able to watch all the other games and then watch the Pats game. So to me, Sunday night game, I'm not going to it for the first time in like 6 years or whatever. I'm not going to the home opener, whatever it is. So it'll be my first time, but I'm happy just to sit down, watch the games on Red Zone, and the Pats game is Sunday night. I don't care. That's perfectly fine with me. It's a big primetime game.
I'll be on the radio all day. For those who listen to the Sports Hub, I'll be on from literally 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. So, all right. So before we get into the game,
I'll be calling in, by the way.
Great.
Calling in.
Just talk about public betting in general, because I got to tell you, public betting in the week of September, the NFL, the books will eat your lunch. If you base it off of how a team played last year, they will absolutely eat your lunch. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think September early on, we learn what a lot of these teams are and we think we learn what a lot of these teams are. And so what happens is people back the teams that were really good the year before, or they think are the teams that are really hot or whatever, you know, people will always back specific teams. It's just, you know, it is what it is. I think, and I'll tell you this, Joe, last year we talked about it early. Just pick a winner. Last year, 84% of the spread did not matter. That was actually the least highest it's been in 3 years. Usually it's up to 90%. Last year, 84% of the time, the spread did not matter. That means you're picking a winner except for 16% of the time. It's not any different. I really don't believe that it's going to be any different this year either, Joe. So we have a ton of games. Let's get right into it. I don't really mind being a public bettor in the NFL because guess what? The public wins in the NFL. They get their money on Saturday. They give it back on Sunday night, Thursday night, and Monday night. If you are on a public team Thursday night, Sunday night, or Monday night, you are going to get the shit kicked out of you. That's the truth. The NFL fixes.
Just to share, favorites in college went 41-44 against the spread. The public went 40-45. So favorites rule in college football. It's not the case in the NFL.
Well, kind of. The big favorites didn't cover.
Yeah, like if you like a team minus nine, just bet the nine. Don't worry about it.
I think don't buy
points or anything like
that. Well, Georgia was the only team that had over 80% of the bet last week that actually covered. All the other big ones, Michigan didn't cover, all those teams like didn't cover. Ohio State didn't cover. Those teams, they didn't cover last week. I think Bama covered versus Duke. But Duke
all I'm saying is it's a completely different game. It's NBA and college. It's
totally.
Completely different.
Oh, it's totally. You can't cap it the same way. You can't look at it the same way. It's not remotely the same. So, I think the NFL is actually a little bit more square than college football is, to be honest.
So I wanted to bring these up because Bet Labs, they're on Twitter. I like them. They actually had some really good stuff from week one in the NFL trends. Dogs in division games. So I'm not sure if you have it in front of you, but I'm not sure what division games are happening this week. But dogs are 50-36-2 in divisional games, which brings up Green Bay at Chicago. I like the underdog based off that stat. Now, hear me out for a second. I know that sounds like there's turmoil with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers and everything like that. Chicago should be loaded. They're loaded on defense. Trubisky's going to be in there another year. Jordan Howard's out. That's something to consider. Tariq Cohen, though, very good player. The other thing, too, is Eddie Pinheiro is the kicker for Chicago. I think he's going to have issues. The pressure on him. He hit 11-13 in the preseason, but that's going to be the storyline for that team all year long. Also, Trey Burton. He's a game-time decision for Thursday night. So if he can't play, that's another weapon that Trubisky can't use. Allen Robinson, I think, was the big threat just a year ago. So there's some changes on that offense that maybe they're not as good. I like that Aaron Rodgers is going to be his own guy. Davante Adams really stepped up, and they got a pretty good running game with two good running backs. So in this spot, and based off that trend, I lean Green Bay at 3.5, 3 in this game.
I don't even care about the trend, to be honest with you. I don't know why you would want to back Chicago here. They've been basically being massively hyped all offseason, and people are talking about them as the Super Bowl champions. I don't even think they're going to win their division. I don't think they have a damn prayer at the Super Bowl. That's for sure. I love Green Bay in the spot. I mean, really, this is... Green Bay should win this game. Again, it's kind of the same thing where we always talk about these teams who come out of nowhere. Like Chicago last year was one of those teams that, you know, the sharp people thought was going to be really good. Well, now they couldn't get a kicker. To me, everyone kind of understands the way that they run. I really don't. I mean, I like their wide receivers. I like Allen Robinson. I think he's certainly regressed since he's come from, come from Jacksonville. Anthony Miller is a nice player. Riley Ridley should be good. But their offensive line, to me, now has a lot more questions, okay? Defensively, they're elite. There's no questions asked. They're going to be an elite defense, but this is a division game, and the Packers know that team well. Give me the better quarterback on week one. I like the fact that the Packers, should be the better team and are just not being touted that way. Offensively, I think Green Bay has more weapons now than they've had in the past few years. Defensively, I think they're running a better scheme. The coach is, finally not a complete and utter dumbass in the final few minutes. To me, he's going to run plays that fit what Aaron Rodgers likes to do. This isn't close to me. I'm definitely on Green Bay. It's not a PP, but I feel very confident in taking the Packers 3.
Chuck Pagano is going to be the defensive coordinator. with Khalil Mack and that Bears defense, which I think is still going to be good.
Can I be honest with you? I don't really like Pagano.
Yeah, I mean,
I know that everyone loves him because of the cancer story, and the guy is a hell of a warrior. I don't think he's that great of a coach. Maybe that's me. By the way, the under on that one, 46.5. You like anything in the total?
I'd go over if I was going to do anything on that one. Here's the deal. Remember last year, Green Bay played Chicago, and that I forget what it was, the opening matchup of these two. Rodgers got hurt, came back in. They were down 20 points. They came back to win 24-23. I believe that was their opening game last year.
Yeah, and I think Green Bay, I actually locked that up. That was my first PP, I think, ever on this podcast. Chicago was like a 9-point dog. And we were like, how the hell is that possible?
And then I believe they met later on in the year in December. Green Bay lost 24-17. Once they lost that game, they were out of it. And then Rodgers went on the IR. So, but they always play within a touchdown. Give me the dog. That's all. In this case, in week one, based off trends, I know you said screw the trends. I like Green Bay in the spot this week.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, forget about the trends. They're the better. I think they're the better team.
Yep, and there's a lot of hype. You mentioned who has more pressure right now, the Bears or the Packers?
Oh, definitely the Bears. 100,000% the Bears. Everyone thinks this team is Super Bowl bound. They don't even have a kicker. I mean, how about this? If you can find a field goal miss prop, I would just take it. I mean, seriously, just lay it with the Bears every week. Why not? It feels like this team is going to miss all the time. Maybe there's not enough value there, but I mean, my Atlanta, to me, the Packers are the play.
All right, Dan, another trend from Bet Labs. Favorites of 7 or more points in week one are 18-27 against the spread. I give you the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Washington Redskins. Spread 8 points, open to 10. And based off that trend, you go Washington.
I still have it at 10.
Okay.
I have the spread at 10 right now. To me, we've actually talked about this. We on the preview podcast. Philly should win the game, but Washington, for whatever reason, always plays them tough. It's just one of those things, divisional games. Like when the Patriots go to Miami, they almost always lose. When the Patriots go up to Buffalo, it's always a close game, and Buffalo almost always covers. Like these teams just know each other so well. You know, Philadelphia hasn't added anything significant that's totally different. Washington is going to be a tough team to back, but I think if you're backing a side in that one, it's Washington or nothing. I agree. And I think that they'll probably cover that 10 or 10 and a half, whatever it is. It's probably a touchdown game because it's a divisional matchup.
Yep. And last year it was 24-0, but I think that was Mark Sanchez, the last matchup that they played. So
it's Case Keenum. It's not really much better.
That. I will say this, though. Jordan Howard now, like they should have a running game this year, something they didn't have.
Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard. Miles Sanders, kid drafted out of Penn State last year. Good back. I'll just say this. Redskins should have Darius Geis, should be a bell cow.
LSU, right?
Yep. You should be a bell cow for them, and they should be able to run the ball at least a little bit. They have some decent wide receivers. I think the team is – Case Keenum is a better option. The real question is going to come from the left side of that line because Ereck Flowers is their starting left guard, and – I can't remember what their starting left tackle is, but it's not great. it's not great at all. So that's the one thing that really should concern you. Oh, Donald Penn, who they signed off the street, is their starting left tackle. I don't feel great about the left side of the line, but other than that, I like Washington to cover the 10.
So that's the only one that's 7 or more when it comes to favorites of 7 or more, 18-27. So in that case, I don't like it.
Seven or more in division?
So dogs in division are 50, 36, and 2.
Okay, because there's a ton of spreads that are 7 or more.
Well, that's, 1 o'clock. I was just looking at 1 o'clock games. Gotcha, but I guess if we look at the 4 o'clock, who do we have is...
Let's just roll through the...
Well, if you look at it, the Giants would fit into that category, right?
Well, let's just roll through the 1 o'clock slate because I think it's easier when we do it by time.
So let's open up with the Rams in Carolina. Our buddy Will Brinson over at the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports, likes Carolina this year. They didn't impress me in the preseason game against the Patriots. And the Rams coming off a Super Bowl loss, you know the story about that, right? You know, teams that lose the Super Bowl. Jared Goff just got $110 million guaranteed. Vomit. Okay?
Gross.
I,
I don't know really how to cap this game besides the fact that I think the Rams should win this game by 3 points or more. Like that's really all I have here. But is Cam Newton fine? What's his ankle status? You know, like how did the Patriots beat them last year? They ran against them and they mauled them. So can Carolina do that with McCaffrey in game one of the year?
So I agree. This one is really tough to cap for me. I actually think the easiest play to me in this one is the over. I think there's both these teams are going to score points. So if you're going to take a side in this one, I think the over is the side. To me, I wouldn't bet this game on a side. I think this is too tough. I will say this. There's a lot of public backers on the Rams and everyone who thinks they're a sharp on the Panthers. It's really tough. I think that this is one of those games where like the public sharp bettors who, you know, think they're sharp and everyone's trying to be a sharp wants to take Carolina this week. I lean the Rams just because I know they're coming off a Super Bowl loss. Usually tough. Goff just got a lot of money. They're much healthier than they were last year, you know, at the end of the year. And to me, it's a coach matchup. Like McVay, you know, is to me still a unbelievable football coach, no matter how bad of his plan was in the Super Bowl. I don't really like Ron Rivera. And I'll just kind of roll with the coach and the quarterback. And I think just a better offensive and defensive team, I'll roll with the Rams. I know it's a road game. It's not a divisional game, though, so, you know, I don't feel too bad about that. I'll give me the Rams minus 2.5 at home, on the road, I mean.
It's as square as can be, but
agreed.
It's the right side.
But here, is it actually that square? Because everyone, their damn mother, who wants to be a sharp, thinks that Carolina's going to win outright this week. I don't really, to me, it's just one of those games everyone's trying to be too sharp in that one.
Yep. Going back to the dogs in division games, 50-36-2, we have Buffalo at the Jets. The Jets are three and a half point favorites based off the trend. And if I was going to put money on this game, I go Buffalo.
I would go New York.
You like the Jets a lot.
Which New York, Dan? Which New York you go with?
I would go with the Jets. I mean, I hate the Bills and I prefer the Jets this year. I think the Bills are going to suck this year. Nonetheless, I actually don't like either of that. I do have a play on this one, Joe. You ready for this? Okay. Ready for an early NFL PP? Bills Jets under 40.5 PP. This is going to be a defensive, disgusting, slug it out game in New York, divisional game week one. PP Jets Bills under 40.5.
Gross.
It is gross, but to me, this is an easy play. The divisional week one game with two teams who offensively suck and two teams who have primary defenses, and everyone loves the over because it's so low. Give me the under.
We're going to be stuck to watch this game locally here. I want to see what Sam Darnold is.
Turnover machine. He's a turnover machine. Mark it down.
I just want to see what he is. Buffalo had a good defense last year.
They do. Buffalo's a good defensive team. Don't you think the Jets are a good defensive team too?
They've improved. Yes.
They're a good defensive team, man. They are. And so that's what they're going to be. Their bread and butter is going to be defense and not offense. You know? Can you even name a Jets wide receiver?
Anunua,
Robbie Anderson. There's a few, but I mean, really, it takes you a minute to think about it. Like
Braxton Berrios.
It might honestly be Le'Veon Bell. I mean, Le'Veon Bell might be their best wide receiver.
And that's the one thing we didn't even mention, right? Like, what's his factor in the game?
Well,
he hasn't played in 2 years.
Well, I think Darnold is going to be a check down machine for Darnold, which I think is going to help the Jets. I think the Jets win the game, but I don't feel great about that either way. I don't like the Bills this year, but this is a gross game, really.
All right, I got my first PP of the year. Give me Baltimore on the road at Miami. Right now it's a 4-point spread. Give me Baltimore 4 points in this matchup.
I have it at 6.5.
They opened at 4. It's now up to
– It's up to 7, and here
it goes. It goes into that – favorites of 7 or more, 18-27.
Let me put this out there. Baltimore right now is getting the highest bet percentage in the history of week one.
So you know what? I retract it. because I can't PP something. That's so square. I can't do it.
Dude, it worries the hell out of me. You want to know what you want? I'll give you this. Under. Neither of these teams are going to score. Under. Give me the under 39 in this one, Joe. These teams suck. Oh, that's not true. Baltimore's going to be a good team. They're going to win this game. Miami sucks, but I think in Miami, it's going to be a tough game for Baltimore. First game of the year. We really don't know what Miami is, man. We have no idea what they're going to look like. No left tackle. Basically traded one of their best wide receivers. Defensively, we don't really know.
I mean, we assume they're tanking.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. They're going to lose the game. Like, how about this, Joe? How do you feel about Baltimore? You know me. I can't believe I'm going to do this. You know me, Joe. I'm not a parlay guy. How do you feel about Baltimore money line minus 300 in a parlay?
With the Rams? I'm in.
No, with something else. Something else you like. I'll give you a few I like later. But, like, to me, if you want to take Baltimore, don't take the spread. Just take the money line. Don't risk it. Because this is one of those games I feel like is going to be fixed. And don't tell me, by the way, that the NFL doesn't fix games or that college football doesn't fix games. You're wrong. Just take. I'm not arguing with you. You're wrong. I promise you, you're wrong. This feels like a fixable game that no one will watch down to Miami.
Okay, let's get to some good games now.
Cool.
Atlanta at Minnesota. Okay,
there we go.
Atlanta still, to me, that's what they are. I mean, they got some of the greatest wide receivers in all of football. I look at Minnesota and I say Kirk Cousins. What's different about that team? Both, you know, one's got a good defense. The other is a suspect, even so we think. I have no real lean on, like, a, you know, what's the breakdown in this game. Last year, they both played to an under. Minnesota right now, 4-point favorite at home. Can Matt Ryan outscore Kirk Cousins? Absolutely. To me, I have no play in this game whatsoever, Dan. I don't even find a real advantage besides maybe, I mean, like Atlanta can play this team in that dome. So there's no advantage to me. I this is an interesting game to watch to see which team comes out on top.
I definitely lean Minnesota. Diggs did not practice today, which is concerning. He was out there for the media portion of the practice, so we actually don't know. Maybe he was limited, but if he doesn't practice and play, I don't like this, but I lean Minnesota. Everyone's very high on Atlanta this year, too. Rebound year. Maybe that happens, but some of these good teams struggle early on. You know, like New Orleans struggled early last year. They lost to Tampa Bay week one. This feels like a Minnesota win to me. I like the home team. Give me the 3.5 there.
All right. Well, I have nothing. So I apologize to the listeners.
There's no PP for me. I don't love it. The rest of the 1 o'clock games are good.
So Tennessee at Cleveland, we know how hyped Cleveland is this year. You know, the teams played, I remember the shit game a couple of years ago. It was like 12-9 between these two teams. I feel like this is going to be a slugfest. This might be one of the better games to watch at 1 o'clock. I expect Cleveland to put up points. The total is 45.5. If Mariota doesn't play well, they're going to pull the trigger with Tannehill. I think, Dan, we've talked about this.
I think Cleveland's one of the most talented teams in all of football. Absolutely one of the most talented teams in football. But can they stop the Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis package back there? Is there a wide receiver that can truly step up? We know Delanie Walker's back as well. And, you know, their defense is improved. Cleveland's defense is much better. The Tennessee, though, I look at it, yeah, I know people are high on them. They were high on them last year. On a betting perspective, I don't like the 5.5 points for Cleveland just in general. But if they can beat Tennessee convincingly and cover, I take them seriously.
I'll tell you this. The Titans don't have their left tackle. Pretty simple to me.
Yeah, Luan suspended the first four games for some bullshit, by the way.
Yep.
Performance enhancers, but...
Agreed.
Yeah, it's his bull. Yeah, whatever. But yeah, they're going to be without him. That's not good.
Dennis Kelly, they're starting left tackle this year. You guys know who Dennis Kelly is? I sure the hell don't. And which means you probably don't either. If you do, congratulations. Give yourself a pat on the back. You have no life. But in reality, the fact is that the Titans have struggled off with their offensive line play for the past year, and that is with Conklin and Luan. Now they're losing Luan. Offensively, they're better. Delanie Walker's getting older, but he's still good at tight end. Tajay Sharp, Adam Humphries, Corey Davis, not the biggest names in the world, but should be good offensively. Here's the question. What the fuck does the quarterback give you? Because as Joe said, I don't think they're going to be scared to go real quick from Mariota to Tannehill. You know, you guys know how I feel about the Browns this year, okay? You guys know how I feel about that team. I think they're going to be the best team in the AFC North. I think they're going to win that division. To me, this is square as shit. I'm taking the Browns to cover the 5.5. I think everyone, a lot of people are DMing me. I got a DM from a dude I like. Cool, dude. He goes, are the Titans the easiest play in the world at +5? I was like, no, they're not. Cleveland is a good team this year. I think Cleveland's going to win this game.
Miles Garrett should feast.
Dude, right? Seriously,
and,
right?
And think who's up front with him, right? You got what? Sheldon Richardson. You got, Ogunjobi is the other player there that they have. Olivia Vernon, he's on that team. Like, they're stacked up front, especially with their offensive line issues. I agree. Miles Garrett's going to have a field day.
If you want to stop Garrett, you still got to stop Richardson and Vernon. And not to mention, Kirksey is one of the most underrated middle linebackers in the entire league. That kid can cover running backs. So I know that everyone's going to talk about Deion Lewis. I think Lewis is going to be covered. Let's also not forget, Malcolm Butler was terrible last year. Terrible. He might have been one of the worst corners in the league. And now he has to match up with either Landry or Odell Beckham. No, thank you. Give me the Browns -5.5. This is not, I think this is going to be a close game for a while. I think the Browns will pull away, win by a touchdown or more. I like the Browns to cover this game. I know it's square as shit. I understand
You're talking me in. You're talking me in
but
right now.
I'm telling you, dude, the Browns are a better team than people.
Do you know who's going to be a stud for the Browns? David Njoku. They're going to be worried about what Landry, Beckham, Higgins probably have a big year as well.
Yep.
But Njoku, man, he's going to see the middle of the field. He's going to light it up.
I do worry a little bit about the Browns offensive line. If there's a worry, it's the offensive line.
They cut, what's his name?
Robinson. I mean, they re-signed him. Here's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, they caught him and no one wanted to sign him. No, it was a procedural move. They cut him and they immediately re-signed him because they were going to save money on him. I actually worry more about the right side of the line, McCush and Hubbard. I don't really like them. But here's the thing. Chubb was awesome last year as the running back. And let's not forget who they're getting back at week 10. Kareem Hunt, who, by the way, was just one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in the league last year. Everyone's acting like he's done in football. Why? Because he was suspended?
And I will say this. The one thing the Browns did in the preseason, they ran the ball hard. Maybe that's because they didn't want to show anything with their offensive line, but they ran very well. And I believe Nick Chubb had, like, what, a 65-yarder in the preseason. Last year, the Titans gave up 116 yards per game.
Dude, I'm telling you this. The Titan Marcus Mariota has to throw the ball against Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams, and Terrence Mitchell. I mean, it feels like every single matchup you break down, with the exception of the Tennessee defensive line, because they should win that matchup for sure. But it feels
like
every
You like Cleveland 5.5?
I do. I just feel like they're going to win.
Okay. One final 1 o'clock game before we get to the 4 o'clocks. Kansas City goes against Jacksonville. Jacksonville right now getting 3.5 at home. It opened up at 4.5. I know you didn't like Mahomes last year. He had an MVP season.
I was wrong.
I'm big on Nick.
I've taken L so many times that I'm just going to take another L. I was wrong.
So I like Jacksonville in the spot, and I don't know why. I'm just fading Kansas City. That's all I got for you. Hey, Joe, why? I don't know. I just think Foles and that – Jacksonville was that hype team last year, right? I think they bounce back and play well this year. I really do. And I think they got a quarterback who can actually play, where I think KC regresses. So 4.5, 3.5, at home in a hot-ass Jacksonville. I'm not betting a PP, but I lean Jacksonville in this game.
I got a PP for you in this one. You ready?
Okay.
Kansas City, Jacksonville Jaguars, over 51.5. PP.
I mean, I can see 28-24, 28, something like that, right?
Yeah, that'd be right over the number.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. The Jaguars are going to have to score. They're not going to shut down the Chiefs from scoring. I know that they have a great defense. I like the Jacksonville defense as much as the next guy. I think it's slightly overrated at this point. I think a bunch of their guys have actually regressed. Although, I love Josh Allen out of Kentucky. That kid can fucking play. Nonetheless, the Jaguars should be good in this spot. They should cover this game. If you can get it at 4, I like it. I don't love 3.5. I got to be honest with you. I don't have a great lean. I think Kansas City is going to win this game, but this would not be a surprise at all to me if Jacksonville pulled this one out. I do think both teams are going to score. You know, this feels like a big high-scoring game to me, if not one of the most high-scoring games of the week to me. I like this. I like this over. I like it a lot.
All right, there are your 1 o'clock games. We'll wrap everything up with the 4 o'clock, the 8 o'clock, and also the Sunday night football games, and we have some questions this week for you as well. It is Over Under 985, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray. He is Dan Lifschatz. We got the 4 o'clock games next here on the pod.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
Back here, Over Under 985. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifschatz. We went through the 1 o'clock games. It's going to be fun to cut this bad boy up today, Dan.
Yeah, this is going to suck for me. But whatever. I'm going to put in the PP. I'm going to mark down all the PP sounders and then cut it tomorrow and put it out for all you guys. So you'll have it bright and early tomorrow morning.
All right, Dan. Over the last 15 years or so, who is the least profitable quarterback in week one against the spread?
Last 15 years, the least profitable. Ben Roethlisberger? Matt Stafford? I don't know. Who is it?
It's Drew Brees.
Really? Actually, that doesn't surprise me. They lost last year to Tampa Bay.
Do you know who the most profitable quarterback is in the last 15
years? It's got to be Tom Brady.
No?
Who is it?
Well, week one. Week one.
Who is it?
Joe Flacco.
Bullshit. Bullshit. Joe Flacco?
Joe Flacco's 8-3 against the spread in week one.
Oh my God. All right. Are you
I just thought those are the Monday night games, which we'll get to in a little bit. Just a little tease. Okay, just a little tease there. Okay. Before 4 o'clock, let's just open up with a game that I Seattle versus Cincinnati. This goes into that trend again. Well, we should talk about this on Touch and Rich tomorrow, but it goes into that trend of teams favored by 7 or more that don't play well. I still don't know if you're buying that yet, these trends. They're true.
I don't buy that trend because
they're 18-27 against the spread over the last 7 or more. So here, Seattle falls into this case.
Yeah, that's fine. I get it. I think Seattle's going to win this game, so I'd take them outright. I'd take the spread. Again,
that goes to your belief of essentially don't worry about the number, just bet the team. And yeah, dude, yeah. Cincinnati, what is AJ Green? No, he's out, right?
AJ Green is out the first 4 weeks, and it's probably going to be 6. They'll probably get some points. I mean, Tyler Boyd is a good wide receiver. You know, they'll probably be some points scored, but Seattle should run the ball over them. I mean, this should not be a close game. If Seattle doesn't win this game by 10 points, I'd be surprised. Honestly, I feel pretty good about Seattle winning that game by 10+. Cincinnati blows. I mean, they blow. And on the road? No, thank you. Give me Seattle.
Yeah, let's not even really discuss that game. Because I'm not gonna watch it. I'm out on that game. So here we go with another game, 6.5. Might go up to 7, open to 3. The Chargers at home against the Indianapolis Colts without Andrew Luck and Jacoby Brissett. It's 6.5 is the number.
I have
I like the Chargers all day in this. I'm sorry.
I like the Colts all day in this. Colts being significantly undervalued now, based upon the fact that the Chargers are because of the fact that they don't have Andrew Luck. Colts opened the year last year with Andrew Luck versus the Bengals. How'd they do? They got their ass kicked. To me, this is not going to be really that close. I don't like the Chargers to do that much. I think that we saw how to beat them last year. Run the ball down their throat. You know, just run the ball. Well, they have Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines and a running quarterback. And they just lost their safety, who was, would be a big part of that run defense. So to me, I think the Colts are going to win this game. I think they're cover spread. I think they're going to win this game. Colts plus 7. Give it to me.
Wow.
The Chargers.
And the public's going to be all over the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. And plus, how the Chargers do last year when they opened the year? By the way, it was a PP for me. How'd the Chargers do when they opened the year versus Kansas City last year? Not great. Not great, Mike.
You didn't like Mahomes.
I did not. And they got they got their ass kicked.
All right. Here's one for you that should get some action. San Francisco at Tampa Bay. Right now, it is a live pick'em. I don't know why, but I kind of like Tampa Bay here.
Dude, I have no idea. I got to be honest, because you would expect Jimmy Garoppolo to suck. You know, it's going to be his first year back off ACL. Those guys take 6, 7, 8 weeks to kind of get better. Winston, I don't think very highly of in general. I don't have a great read on either of these teams. I got to be honest with you. This is the first game where I look at it and say, I have no idea what the hell to expect. Because, Joe, I have no idea. I don't know what about the total. I don't feel good about the spread. I don't feel good about this. I'll let you handle that one.
Tampa Bay needs to win. And I don't know about the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, but, for some reason, San Francisco played really well last year. I think they might have covered a bunch of spreads.
They did, but that was because Nick Mullins. That was because of Nick Mullins came, after Jimmy G tore his ACL. Mullins came in after, I think, whoever the hell it was, they tried out a quarterback before him. And Mullins played pretty well. They covered a few spreads. They did well. It feels like Garoppolo is almost destined to throw a pick or two. That's kind of why I don't feel great about San Francisco. And in Tampa Bay, it's Winston. I don't really want to back Winston week one against a half decent defense. I don't feel great about either side. That's why it's a pick 'em.
All right, then. Would you take Davante Adams, Julio Jones, or Odell Beckham in fantasy?
This year, I'd probably take Adams.
Okay, but done. Moving on, because nobody cares about that game either. Nobody cares about this game, the Arizona or Detroit.
I do.
Right now. Oh, you do? Okay.
I have a PP on this one. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Arizona plus 3 PP. The Lions suck. I don't understand. I mean,
you're gonna go Kyler Murray in his first game with Cliff Kingsbury and all that. Still over. Oh, man, then you know what? A couple of these games really suck.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of these games really suck. But here's the other thing, Joe. Forget about the fact that Matt Patricia and his team wasn't even ready for week one of the preseason versus Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Let's forget about that. The Arizona Cardinals, first off, have wide receivers who are good. Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk. They have a guy in Kyler Murray. I don't love the player. I think he's a good quarterback. Maybe he'll become great. He's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes. He can run the ball, and he can throw the ball, and he actually has a running back who can run a little bit. David Johnson's a good running back, okay? His defense is pretty good. They're not great. They're not elite. I just think that they're a better team than Detroit, and you're giving me 3 extra points at home. I'm going to take the Cardinals plus 3 and on the money line at plus 125. I'm going to do it. I think Arizona's going to start off 1-0. Everyone seems to be really high on Detroit this year and really low on Arizona. I think these teams are pretty even. I'll take the home team and the points. Home dog early. Give me the 3.
Okay. This game needs to be discussed. I think the Giants are going to suck so bad. I think they're going to be a terrible football team. They're only 7-point underdogs. They opened at 7.5. They're at 7. And we keep talking about the theme or I keep talking about the theme of favorites, 7 or more in week 1 or 18 and 27 on the year. I'm betting Dallas. I don't care. I'm betting Dallas. But just can you give me something of why to take the Giants? Is it the Zeke factor? Because I like Pollard.
Yeah, I lean the Giants, man. To me, this is a Dallas Cowboys team that is I really like them. I think they're a really good team. I think they have a chance to go to the Super Bowl this year. I think they're underrated in many circles. But the Giants always play them tough. And divisional game, early week 1, it's in Dallas, which is the only thing that gives me pause. But I got to be honest with you. I think Dallas probably going to struggle a little bit with Zeke back. I mean, again, they're definitely a better team with Zeke. But week 1, they probably won't be. Their offensive line is elite. Their defense is very good. I like Dallas a lot. They probably should win by 7. But I'm going to take the divisional matchup dog. I don't feel good about it, but if you're giving me 7 or 7.5, I feel better about that. I think the Giants will probably score some points, Joe. Saquon Barkley's a really good running back. I mean, Evan Ingram is going to be a good tight end. I think they're set up for a little bit of points there. Dallas will probably play the ball control game, try and run the ball a lot, waste a lot of time. I feel good about the Giants plus 7 or 7.5.
I think now, listen, remember last year Dallas won that game late in the year, 36-35. They came all the way back. Dak looked awesome and they went to the playoffs.
Yep.
You're right. To a point, this is a divisional game. And I think the other spread was dogs in divisional games are 50-36-2. So both trends right there lean towards the Giants, both of them.
Which is why you're going to ignore them and take the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm fading both.
I like it. Hey, listen, more power to you, man. Again, as I said, you were hot as hell last week.
But this is the NFL, dude. Like, these guys are on scholarship too, right? I mean, these are good play. I think the Giants suck. Like, I don't know who's going to catch the football for them.
I really told you. I think it's going to be Ingram, and I think it's going to be Barkley, and they'll have to have one of their wide receivers emerge. I mean, Sterling Shepard Sterling Shepard leave.
Sterling Shepard. Yeah, he's hurt. Tate got hurt. I was going to miss the first 4 games.
Yep. I was going to
say. Yeah, they're a mess, dude. They're a mess.
I agree. Offensively, they're not great. I think Shepard might be back. Crap, I can't remember. I think they're starting Benny Fowler and Cody Latimer. Like, I know that those are the other two guys that they have. I think Latimer actually could be half decent player. I'm not sure about Fowler, but nonetheless, I think they'll find a way. They'll probably use Wayne Gallman in multiple running back sets. They'll do something. They have multiple guys. They will figure it out. I don't love the Giants, but I definitely feel better about them as a 7-point dog.
Okay. Sunday Night Football here. Well, you'll be able to hear it on the flagship of the New England Patriots on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, so we'll give them a plug because that's where we do our show. New England Patriots right now, 5.5-point favorites against the Steelers. I know the Steelers have won. They've competed. The Patriots lost last year 17-10 in that memorable game that we thought the season was over. I'm a little nervous of Pittsburgh for the simple fact that no one's talked about them.
Everyone's talking about them.
I know how you feel. I already know how
Felger and Mads talked about them. Did you listen to Felger and Mads today?
I did. They
talked about them for half an hour, and every single caller who called in said the Steelers are going to be great, and Mads said, oh, the Steelers are going to be great, addition by subtraction. Everyone thinks they got fucking better by losing good players. The dumbest argument in the damn NFL is you get better by losing players.
Well, it's not the Celtics, right? Get better.
It's not the NBA. It's not the NBA. You don't get better by getting rid of Kyrie Irving. You don't get better. You know, this is not the NBA, guys. This is the NFL. As annoying as Antonio Brown is off the field, as annoying as Le'Veon Bell is off the field, those guys don't. That has nothing to do with what their play is on the field. There's 53 guys in that locker room. This is not a 12-person locker room. It's totally different. And whenever you ask an NFL player or anyone who is around the team, What's the difference between NFL and the NBA? They'll always tell you a problem in the NBA locker room is 5 million times greater than a problem in an NFL locker room. There's no such thing as addition by subtraction in the NFL. Not a thing. Doesn't exist. And I tell you right now, Joe, a little birdie told me that there are just as many problems in that Steelers locker room right now. Just.
So anyways, the Patriots at home, I don't fade them. I don't fade the Patriots at home. This is not a homer take or anything like that. I think their defense is going to be very good. I also think the Patriots remember losing that game last year. I think they remember. I also think that there's a factor where the Pittsburgh already thinks they're at a disadvantage based off maybe some of the foolery that's happened at times. Patriots 5.5 for me, and this is not a homer play. I'm going to lock this up as a PP.
Okay, so here's my thing. You know how I feel about Tomlin. Tomlin's a terrible coach. The Steelers suck. To me, the Steelers are going to be a 6-10 team this year, maybe, on a good day. That's honestly how I feel about them. That's not a joke. I really think that everyone, the problem is, Joe, is that, and this is not offensive to you, you, like everyone else, says no one's talking about them. Yet they are constantly, I hear more about the Steelers than I do about the Browns. I don't get it. I just don't. Talent wins in this league. The Steelers lost their two of their best players. Their coach sucks. Their quarterback is a walking injury. Their defense is getting older. Their offensive line has gotten worse. I don't understand. I mean, the one thing I will give Tomlin credit for is at least he doesn't play that stupid zone defense where Tom Brady picks him apart, you know, every freaking year. At least they changed the man-to-man defense. So I'll give him that, but Steelers coming in the Foxborough, no thank you. Give me the Patriots. And by the way, I also agree with you, Joe. Not a homer pick. I picked against the Bruins in Game 7. Okay? I'm not a homer. I pick against my teams all the freaking time. Pats are going to beat them by like 14. I'm going to smash this team. Pats minus 5.5 PP.
Wow.
Double PP.
He is on the PP.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're both double PPing the Patriots, and, wow, we sound like wicked homers, huh?
I know we do, which is funny.
Wasn't that one of the people said about our podcast?
Yeah, we're homers, but the fact is that, I'm an Ohio State fan, and I told you last week I think that Florida Atlantic's going to cover. I don't know. I mean, maybe I am a homer. Who the hell knows? Who the hell knows? Some dude told me to that Tom Brady was definitely leaving, and I told him he definitely wasn't, so I guess I am a homer.
I mean, with contracts going around, I don't understand why. I sometimes don't understand why guys would hang around sometimes.
I don't know, because they like to win, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's just a me thing.
You know what? Maybe it is a you thing.
I think it is a me thing. You're right. I think I'll just go fuck myself. So.
I'm drafting my draft, of course, with two games remaining in the while we're having some fun here and I'm doing my draft. Would you take Brandon Cooks, Stephon Diggs, or would you take Derrick Henry?
Who's your running backs?
Or James White.
Who are your running backs?
I don't have any. Oh, I just picked up Phillip Lindsay.
I would probably take Henry. I don't love him, but he should at least steal the goal line snatches from Deion Lewis early. Although I really very much like Diggs this year, so it's kind of tough. It's either Diggs or him. One of those two.
Took Henry.
All right.
We got the final two games of the weekend here. Houston and New Orleans. Okay? I think it's going to be a good game. I really do. New Orleans, right? I'm fading. I'm fading New Orleans in this spot, but that I always think about that Monday Night Football game after the Katrina and they blew everybody out. And Houston covers that number 7 very often. They pushed against the Patriots last year in the opener, if you can remember.
Yep.
And I think they played 2 years ago. I'm thinking of the wrong game here. I don't know what you have for a breakdown, but I feel like Clowney is going to be a loss for that Houston defense.
I do too, but I also feel like that we're 7 points is a lot. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if the Texans outright won this game, to be honest with you, man. Like you just said, Drew Brees, worst quarterback against spread week 1 value-wise in the last 15 years. They also lost last year, pretty sure at home, to Tampa Bay. It feels like every year they start out slow and then get better as the year goes on. I like the Texans plus +7. I like it a lot. To me, it's
I agree with you. That's another 7-point game that falls into that category that we discussed.
Agreed. I usually like to look at those big spreads. They're interesting to me. Houston getting 7 points is one that really shouldn't happen.
Deshaun Watson and Drew Brees will be a really good quarterback matchup. Watson, I think, is going to be able to do some things against that New Orleans defense. So I like Houston as of right now. We'll see what the line is. And just finally, Monday night, Oakland and Denver. Lock it up, baby. PP, give me Joe Flacco in Denver over Oakland.
Fair enough. What the money line's minus?
It's a pick'em. I'm going to take him as a pick'em.
Yeah, my it's a minus -117 pick'em. It's not bad. It's you know, we're playing a little bit of juice. Let me mark that as we go along here. But there we go. But I mean, here's the thing. Oakland opened as a 3-point favorite. It's weird that they opened as a 3-point favorite, to be honest with you. But I mean, Denver's the right side. I mean, there's no way I'm backing Oakland week one. So I'm either backing Oakland backing Denver, or I'm backing nothing in this game. There's nothing else I like. I'm going to back Denver. Give me Denver. I'm not PPing it, but give me Denver. I mean, I can't back Oakland. They're just a mess right now. I can't possibly back that team.
Okay. All right. Well, that's week one. And we'll be on Toucher and Rich tomorrow morning for those who listen tonight or when it drops, discussing, I'm sure, a lot of the games as well. And
I'm going home.
We'll be on all weekend long as well to discuss these games. So finally, we will wrap this program up with a bunch of questions that we had come over, and we will go to the window next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over Under 98.5.
Usually here, Dan, we roll the dice and we go to the window. I know you had one story about a coach who coached from his deathbed, basically.
Yeah, so Hugh Freeze coached the Liberty football team against Syracuse. By the way, I liked Liberty plus +18 last week. From his hospital bed in the stadium, and they got shut out. But nonetheless, he coached the team from his hospital bed, man. I mean, he's a true competitor, bro. he actually got them to put a hospital bed in the damn press box, basically, so he could coach the team from there. It's wildly impressive that he actually was able to do that. Wildly.
That is some funny stuff.
I mean, and I mean, they got murdered. He didn't do a great job, but I mean, you know, whatever. It was okay.
One other thing I wanted to bring up, I know some people bet on tennis. There was a huge upset yesterday, if you saw this last night, but Roger Federer was minus -1600. He lost to Grigor Dimitrov, and somebody said that Dimitrov was 530. Somebody put $2,500 on it last night.
Plus +530?
Yeah.
I mean, the opening line was plus +700. I think he got up to like plus +2,200 because he was down 2 sets to 1.
Yeah.
And then Federer
was back. One other thing to mention, too, is Sportsbook Rhode Island. The mobile app is in. You can only use it in Rhode Island.
Do you have to have a permanent address in Rhode Island, or do you just have to
know?
No,
from what I was told, you just have to have your IP address. And that's what I was told. IP
All right. address. Dude, we got to take a drive. a 20-minute drive to the border.
But the thing is, though, is I think you can only do it through their book.
Well, yeah, it's fine. We'll download the app. We'll put in a few bets. We'll drive to the border, you know, chill at the border and put in some bets and drive back.
Okay.
I mean, at least that's what I would like to do in the next couple of weeks instead of having that. I don't really care. I have a local. It doesn't really matter to me.
It's just, but still. Yeah, it's...
Just get it here already, will you?
Yeah, I know. That's
all I can tell you. Just get it here already. All right, let's take it to the window, Dan.
All right, Joe. First question. When do you, if ever, buy points from our buddy Jordan?
3.5. Sometimes 6.5. 4.5. Those are generally the numbers that I do it in.
7.5?
Oh, yeah. 7.5 as well. Definitely.
Yeah. And
10.5.
Yeah. Key numbers. I don't really like to buy. I like to see if I can find a little bit of movement. But if in specific circumstances, like tonight, I said I would buy a half a point in that one. I will buy a half point from time to time. But generally, it's not a great idea. You lose a lot of money that way. Because when you think about it like this, you lose a minus 130 bet and you're down 1.3, which means you really have to win two bets to make that up and then some. It's not a great way, and long term you will lose money buying points, absolutely no doubt about it. So
one question I want to get out of the way. Everyone asks me, hey, what sports book do you use? What sports book? I use a local. I don't use a damn sports book. So Dan, do you have a recommendation on a sports book?
Yeah, it depends what you want to do. Five Dimes is great if you want to bet all sorts of different options and different sports. They have the most options available of any online book by far, but their cash out process can take a long time. Bookmaker is just the most reliable. They have the highest limits, but their options are not, great. Bet Online has a good mix of both. They should get everything out to you quickly. And BetDSI, terrible live betting, but they're okay. I've been limited by BetDSI, so I can no longer bet there for more than $25 a pop. Five Dimes already gave me the warning that if I continuously do what I'm doing, I will be limited there too. So lovely.
And we're out on a few of them, but we don't have to name them.
Yeah, no, we'll move on. If you're on Bovada, no, thank you.
Out.
Yeah, out on Bovada. So, all right, Joe, second question from our buddy Skip. Did last year's NFL stay on trend of just pick a winner? I actually did answer that already. I think it was, 84%, I think was my stats, so 16% of the time the spread mattered. Question from Peter. He wants to know how to read second half lines better. This question was directed at you, Joe.
All goes down to what was the original line and will the team do it next? So I'll give you an example, the Louisville Notre Dame game. So Notre Dame was up, 14 points?
I think it was. I think they're up 7.5.
Oh, 7 points at the half. The second half line was 7.5. So they were baiting you to take Notre Dame. Well, actually, baiting you to kind of keep it close. But if you bet Notre Dame second half, you won, but they didn't cover the spread. So a lot of the times when it comes to that for me is, do I think a team's either A, trailing and going to come back to win, A, barely winning and think they still covered the spread? It's all chance. But again, it worked this week with Auburn. They came back and won. I thought Hawaii, I also bail out of bets too. So like I had Arizona and I was like, screw this. They're not going to win. So I took Hawaii in that bet. But really it's all about the number. Do I want to bail out or do I want to double down? Or do I think that they can at least win that bet? And even if they don't cover, a lot goes into it.
I will say this though. Don't fall for the clear and obvious lines. There are some clear and obvious lines that they're baiting you in the stuff. Just don't take them. Don't fall for it. Don't be the sucker that falls into the trap. That's all I would tell you. Don't be that sucker in the second half. All right. Question number four from Tom. Joe and Dan, in a minus 110 line, why would you bet $110 to win 100? Why not just bet $100? It's up to you.
Even line? I don't even know if you can.
You can bet $100 to win $90 or whatever.
Give me the one with my $100.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't want to bet one to win $100. I mean, just clear numbers to me. Whatever.
Is there an option for that? That's, I guess, my question.
I mean, yeah, you could take an alternative line and up the line and have it even money. I don't know what to tell you, Tom. I'll tell you this: you should be betting based upon your unit size. So I've kind of always told you guys, bet based upon the units that you have, pretty clear and simple. So that would be my up thing to you. Gary wants an update on the Indiana win total. Obviously, you have the lock at under 10.5. It's now up to 7.5 or down to 7.5. Tom wants to, or I guess Gary wants to know whether or not you are going to take the over or the under at 7.5 wins on Indy.
I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I would lean under.
Well, I already locked in the 10, so I or 9.
But just saying, if you had to pick it now.
I go under. That division's tough.
I think they might get 8 wins, but I here's the thing, Gary. Just stay away from it. Don't bet it. There's no need to. All right, question from Mark, directed towards both of us. When you guys first started betting, were you always this good?
Feels like a planted question almost, huh?
Not a planted question.
No, you got to get your ass kicked and learn the ropes a little bit. It's kind of like blackjack, man. You just got to put up the money at the table and know which ones when to hit, when not to, what the dealer's holding. NFL's tough. Hey, listen, I think our NBA was pretty good in our, you hit the Stanley Cup and kind of rolling here in college football, but the NFL is a different beast, man.
Agreed. I sucked for such a long time in gambling. It takes you a very long time to understand when to bet things and when not to bet things. Just kind of pick up on the nuance of it. It takes you a long time. The only way you're going to get better is by losing money at the start. Everyone does it. Most people, I mean, I would say like 95% of gamblers probably don't win money long term. So it takes a long time. You got to be smart. You got to be updated. And you got to know what you're talking about. You know, you got to learn how to read lines. And not everyone can just pick it like Joe. Joe has a special talent. Joe can just pick it. Look at it and pick it.
Well, I think in half times, I just really look. You either know when to hold it, know when to fold it. I think that's really it for me at halftime.
All right. Moving on. Question from our buddy Connor. He wants to know a few things not to do in week one in Vegas during the week one NFL season.
I would say the 7 points or more, depending. All the stats we talked. Actually, you know what? I'll give you one. Don't just take the hype teams. You know, like I know Cleveland's hyped, but we like them.
We like them.
But who else is hyped that shouldn't be favored? You know what I mean? Like I kind of like Jacksonville this week.
Pittsburgh.
I think Kansas City's going to be really hyped.
I think Pittsburgh's hyped. I think Denver is hyped a lot by a lot of people in the media.
You know what else I would do? Don't go heavy.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know these teams too well. So
go light.
Unless you can find a super big advantage. Buffalo, another team that's been super hyped in the media. For whatever reason, Tampa Bay, I feel like somehow has been hyped a little bit. Detroit has been hyped for whatever ungodly reason. Just again, few teams that are hyped. Here's my thing. This is not even a betting thing. If you're in Vegas and you really want to know what to do, here's the thing. Every single book is going to be absolutely littered in people. Saturday afternoon before the books close, or even honestly Friday, because it's going to be a madhouse for college football Saturday too. I keep forgetting. Thursday, Friday, go to one of the books that you're going to bet in. Find the app, get a mobile app with them, because it's just so much easier betting on the app than it is than waiting in line for tickets. I love tickets. They're fun to get when you don't live in Vegas, but to everyone else out there, just use the app. So just go get the app, and therefore you don't have to wait in line. That's my number one piece of advice for you for, a big week like this out in Vegas. Final question, Joe, from our buddy Robert. Can you guys touch on EPL and soccer betting? So Joe doesn't like soccer. He bets soccer.
I only like World Cup.
Yeah, I like the EPL. I like soccer. And to be honest with you, I think you can get a really good read in lineups if you do a lot of previews. I don't have time. I have to do other things. I have other things in my life other than gambling and, working. There are a few things I like to do. I just don't have the time of day to do everything. And that's why it's good to have friends in the business. So as much as I like the EPL and I feel like I know about a lot of the players, I don't know all the teams as well nearly as I know everything else. And I just do not feel comfortable talking about games weeks out or days out when I don't know lineups or any of that stuff. Just, it's not something I can do. So honestly, that's why we don't talk about soccer much.
OK.
Okay. And are you going to fade Team USA in basketball?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That team sucked. They didn't deserve to win yesterday. Jason Tatum got hurt. You see why guys like De'Aaron Fox are pulling out of the of these worthless tournaments, because guys get hurt more often than if they're going, as quote, as Brad Stevens says, 100% in the gym. Like, if you guys seriously think that guys are going 100% in the gym, you guys are psycho. Come on, man. Those dudes are not going 100% in the gym. In the tournaments representing Team USA, these young kids, they're going 100%, or at least damn near it. So, yeah, it's a little different. A little different. Are you back in Team USA?
No. I just got a tweet, a DM. Joe, what's the best place to learn how to develop gambling models? I'm looking to become a better, smarter gambler. And I'm suggesting listen to the Over Under Podcast Betting 101. Start there. And then there's multiple sites from there that you can go to. But as far as a model goes, you have one. I just have a thing that I do. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have like a model. I don't have a lift stats or anything like that.
Bet Labs would be a good place to kind of start. Bet Labs
did great this week.
Would be a good.
And listen, I'm giving them props because they did the work. Let's see if the trends work or it's just horseshit. Who knows?
No, but they also have model building. They have a whole bunch of stuff. Same with Odd Shark. They both have kind of starting model building. The other person I would talk to is Whale Capper on Twitter. He is a model extraordinaire. He was kind of the guy who suggested modeling to me a couple of years back, and so that's kind of when I started doing modeling. He can certainly help you with that as well. Whale_Capper. Good dude. Great guy.
All right, Dan. This has been a long-ass podcast.
I think this is going to be over 2.5 hours.
We need those downloads, people. We need the downloads.
You guys better freaking listen.
Downloads.
And review. Please, review. We appreciate it. We're just kidding. But, yeah, really, if you could review, leave us a review, rate, review, we would really appreciate it. It does mean a lot to us. And, we do try and put in a lot of effort for you guys. So, thank you.
And listen to the sounder. If you tweet us, hey, what do you guys think of the game? You know what we're going to tell you? Listen to the podcast. Maybe we should have T-shirts that say, who you got? Listen to the podcast.
Who you got? Listen to the podcast, yeah.
Who you got? Listen to the podcast. Probably. All right, this is it. We're wrapping it up. College football, NFL week one. We did it all. Took your questions. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. This has been the 54th edition of Over Under 985, the podcast.
Who you got?
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.